Hello and welcome to the Child Care Business Coach Podcast. I am here again with one of my favorite people to collaborate with, to interview, just to all together be in the ECE field with. Beth, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Well, that was such a great introduction. And I love getting to hang out with you too. I'm excited. I'm going to get to hang out with you soon at your conference coming up at the beach next month. But I'm also an ECE business and leadership strategist, speaker, trainer, coach. And I love our industry. I've been in it for about the last 24 years. I started with our enrichment program, Stretch and Grow, which is a franchise. Over the years, we've grown that. And I just love us. I love the uniqueness of what is involved in being an early educator, because you've got these, and the people who are listening, you know, the professionals, the owners, the directors, the leaders, they're leaders, but they have such incredible hearts. Yes. And they're so mission and they're so impact driven. And I just love getting to hang out and teach and train and learn from these amazing people that we get to surround ourselves with.
Yes, it's a great industry. It can be tough at times, but it is a wonderful industry.
Oh, it's tough.
In. Yeah. So I have to tell my audience before we started recording, it's kind of funny. We set this appointment to work together to record. We know we're doing this video and a podcast episode, but we didn't even talk about a topic. We didn't even know, like, what are we talking about? And literally 2 minutes before we hit record, we're just like, okay, so what are we talking about? Which I just love that about you, Beth, because I really can't do that with anyone else I'm interviewing. There has to be a plan. But I know we decided that we're going to talk about, like, knowing who you are and standing with your convictions. And yeah, that is part of the reason why you and I can come together without a plan, because we know our convictions. We don't need a script. We don't need to be just have like this big plan moving forward, because we're both pretty authentic and we are really driven within our convictions.
Yes, absolutely. And I think shooting from the heart and just being really in tune with where your heart is and where your head is. And so for those of you all who are listening, you know, Evelyn and I are both, we're both really clear on our core values. And I think that every time we have this conversation around what are our values and what are the issues that we're having, this is what I feel like both you and I know with our businesses. Yes. Every time we've had a hire that was not a good fit, we've had some sort of drama or catastrophe or, you know, whatever else can happen. And, you know, in the teams of mostly women working with women.
Yes.
If we diagnose the problem back to the root of it, it's that we made decisions that were not in line with our core values. And we did not pay attention to the red flags that were in front of us because we were so busy. Like so many of our leaders, we're so busy, mm-hmm. we're so overwhelmed, and we're focused on ratio, and we're focused on not letting someone go because the parents are demanding consistency because there's already been turnover. And so we make decisions or yet don't make decisions against our core values. And then we find ourselves in a heap of anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. What I see a lot lately, I guess what I've really just been, what's been popping out to me is that it's like we're choosing to avoid the pain of today for the greater pain of tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we don't even understand or recognize how a lot of times, well, first of all, if you don't know your core values and who you really are, you don't realize when people are infringing on that.
Right.
But even when it doesn't feel right, you know, you feel uncomfortable and you know something's not right, we're not taking action to fix it.
Yeah. And so it's that conviction, right? And when we mm-hmm. ignore our convictions, I find that I dig myself an even deeper hole when I've ignored my convictions. And I do have to say that, and I feel like probably because of what you and I do, we talk about it so often to our people is yes. that we eventually have to be held accountable. Right. And so yes. the test always comes before the testimony. So I don't know about you, but anytime I'll teach on a subject, it's because I've walked yes. through the negative consequences of what I'm about to teach. And so what I'm teaching is generally what I've learned in the trenches. And so it's interesting going into the season, you know, we spent the summer being, you know, really working on our SOPs. And here's the thing, I mean, and we've got a ton of SOPs, as do you. You know, I'm an assistance person. I teach it, I preach it all the time. But you don't need as many rules if you're clear on your core values. You don't need a list of every possible thing that can go wrong.
Right.
So let me tell you this crazy story. So my daughter began working for me about a year ago, and she's one of my directors. And so she's a one on the Enneagram, or she's a two wing one, right? So she's a helper, but she's also a perfectionist. Well, she needs all of the information because she doesn't like to make mistakes. So, so many things have come up and she's like, we need an SOP for that. Or I don't know how I'm supposed to do that. So a new employee comes to her and says, I need to submit my ADA paperwork, which is American Disabilities Act paperwork. And so she looks at the list and says, oh, we don't need that paperwork. It's not on our list. And so when she mentioned it to me, I'm like, well, never had anyone want to give me that paperwork. So I should call her and make sure, you know, what are the accommodations that you're requesting? And I need to make sure that we can support your needs, right? So here's an example of something that is not in the playbook. And these things come up often. We've never had this one. And so I get on the phone and she's like, well, I'll go ahead and upload my paperwork into my file. I'm like, great. Well, here was her paperwork, Evelyn. She typed in the notes on her phone the accommodations that she herself would like for me to accommodate, did a screenshot and uploaded it into her file and labeled it ADA paperwork.
Oh, wow.
And here are the requests. Are you ready for them?
Yeah.
Number one, bathroom breaks on demand.
Wow.
Which you're working with children, sister. You're
we have to. Yeah.
But you can't leave the kids by themselves if you have to go to the potty.
Yeah.
Number two, time grace, because she sometimes is late and she gets anxious when she's late. So when she's late, it produces even more anxiety. So she needs to not be anxious about being late to work. I'm like, okay, can't do that one either. And then the other one was paid time off on days that she is feeling anxious. And these were her written accommodations, not from a medical professional, because she did, you know, she
could not
get a doctor to get her the paperwork in time.
Wow.
So I was able to have a conversation and just say, I want to be able to support you. And it seems that you need a lot of support right now. And we're a really, really small business. And as much as I would love for this to work, I'm not going to be able to reasonably accommodate the things that you need. So I don't want to keep you in a position that would put you in an uncomfortable situation to where we would not be able to meet your needs.
Right. Yeah. Wow. That was wow.
And here's the hard thing. She was amazing with kids. Amazing. Yeah. Had amazing references, was a rock star with the kids.
Oh.
But that was a red flag for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And 2021 Beth might have overlooked that, because 2021 Beth was a little bit more afraid to have hard conversations like that.
Right. Oh, that is so good, Beth. That I think that is just really good. And that's exactly what I mean by we trade a little bit of pain today for bigger pain tomorrow. Because for me, my psychologist brain jumps to, oh, she's setting you up for a lawsuit. You know, and as you and I have been owners for years, so we just know we have to.
Well, my brain went there too. I'm not going to lie. My brain
I mean, we have to, we learn through mistakes. And like you said, that a lot of what both of you and I do is we're training people based on our personal pain and experiences, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
We've seen these things play out before where somebody, you know, and some of you may lean into like, well, why would you fire her? Couldn't you just talk to her? No, because this is a setup. And we know this because we have been set up in the past.
Yes.
You know, we know from experience these patterns of behavior which people present, which maybe it wasn't, but just from our experiences, we know enough like, we better cover ourselves. We better just be safe.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, and that's an extreme. That's not just a red flag. That's like Six Flags over Texas.
Yeah.
You know, but we had another one too. And this one, again, same thing, good in the classroom, but couldn't get her onboarding finished. And you know, I'm a big believer in manuals to modules. We have a great training program where they have a series of online courses and application projects that they need to do before they come into the classroom to really prepare them, because we're remote, right? And I don't have the time to sit down and watch and make sure. I need them to show me ahead of time. And I'm really clear on that. So, you know, for those of you who are listening, if you have people who aren't getting their paperwork into you, who are not completing their onboarding and are not doing simple things that you ask them to, I would joke myself and say, well, maybe they're just not good with paperwork, or maybe they're disorganized. And you can say that. But the truth is, there's a lack of respect for systems, and you have a job, and we've just asked you to do some things that I see that you might not think that they're important, but I need your fingerprints. I need your CPR. I need your first aid. I need your I-9 documentation. You know, these are things as employers that we need. Yes. And so when we're making excuses for people because we desperately want it to work, big time mistakes that are going to be costly in the future.
And that's exactly, we're desperate, right? We get this desperation to make it work because they may be fantastic with the children. But going back to what you said, it's also a disrespect towards us as the boss. And also what people need to think about is in that beginning phase, they're trying to impress you, right? They're still wearing that mask. It's like when you're dating, right? When you first start dating somebody, everybody's wearing that mask and they're trying to be the perfect image of what we want to see. Well, it's the same kind of thing. A new hire is still wearing the mask. So imagine what happens when they're comfortable. Imagine what they're going, if they can't do their new hire trainings. My new hire process is a 90-day process, and they're on probation for that first 90 days. And that's exactly why. And if we don't get these things turned into us, and a lot of it is independent, like what you're saying, even though we are in a brick and mortar, because I want to make sure they can do these things, right? If they can't, what's it going to be like 6 months from now, a year from now? Then how complacent are they going to be?
You know, you get the best of people in their first 30 days.
Yes.
So I'm almost like, because truly for those who you give a 90-day period, but truly if it's not going to work out, you know, in the first 2 weeks,
you know,
And sometimes and we trick ourselves to say, I'm just going to get you to 90 days so I can get you covered in ratio because I'm working on filling my bench so that we can move along. So when I teach and train, I always say in the very beginning, let him go. And, you know, you and I had a conversation that right now for Zuin, you've overhired.
Yep. Yes. I've overhired because I'm prepared to let people go. And exactly what you said, it's just, we can't be afraid. Right. And for me, my situation is actually opposite. It's actually my very long-term staff. And there's another thing that happens where they've been with you for so long. I've got a lot of staff members who've been with me for over a decade that they get so comfortable with you as a boss where they just think, oh, well, she can't live without me. There's no way she's going to fire me. There's no way. There's no, right? And it gets this, they just get to a place where they're too comfortable, right? And so when I saw that, I had stepped away from Zuin for a while and now I'm stepping back in. And when I saw that happening, I basically decided, okay, we got to get this under control, right? I am not going to let anybody hijacked my company's culture. And basically I put my, a training kit together. I basically took my new hire training kit and revised it as a staff refresher. And the way my new hire training is every day for 30 days, they have a worksheet they have to fill out, which is, it's a very interactive where they have to go ask other teachers questions. They have to go find the answer to things that will help them become the employee or the teacher I want them to be. Right.
I love that.
Yeah. And it's literally like, how do you interact with children? Well, go interact. What happened? How did it go? Things like that. So, I basically am making my entire staff do it. Right. And I know that it kind of like what you're saying, some of them may not do it. Some of them are going to be petty, resentful, whatever. They're going to think they're above that. So I've placed myself in a position where I'm ready. Because burnout is real, it happens. And sometimes it just gets to be time, you know, and it doesn't matter how long somebody's worked for you. We can't be afraid to stand up to them. You also have to realize and remember that people change, right? We progress, we change. And sometimes that chapter closes even 10 years later. the chapter closes. And I think as leaders, a lot of times we're so afraid to take that step of either putting people in their place or letting them go or reminding them where their place is, right? That we just let things get out of control. And then you wonder why your staff runs your center.
Right.
Because again, you're choosing to avoid the small pain of today by confronting for the bigger pain of tomorrow.
I love what Craig Groeschel says. It's a quote I use all the time. He says, your culture is a combination of what you create and what you allow.
Allow. Yes. Yep.
And so many of us, you and I included, could say that in the last 2.5 years, we've allowed things we would have never allowed before.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as we're talking about, you know, what I'm going to talk about at your conference, you know, we're in this phase where we've got to have the mindset that we're leading out of a crisis,
yes,
right?
Yes.
We're not in it anymore. Praise God. We are not in it anymore. I mean, I know COVID is still floating around, but at this point we are not in pandemic.
Yes.
And so we're not in this crisis mode to where we're just waiting for the next shoe to drop.
Yes.
And I think we're so like our feelers, you know, it's like our feelers are so on edge right now. I feel like we all need a sensory brush, right? We all need to be brushed.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yes.
Let's calm down. Let's breathe again. Let's focus. Let's be intentional. Let's be mindful. Let's notice how we're feeling. Let's notice what's happening. But we've got to pay attention. And I think one of the things that I've seen people just light up with is when our directors and our owners are just really intentional about loving on the people that they have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there has to be a balance of that, right? So this month, as I've been kind of cleaning up things, I'm also really recognizing the people who have stayed true to my mission, my vision, my values, and my culture. And I've really I've just been elaborately just thanking them and really just showering them with the praise and showing my gratitude by giving them gifts and really remembering the different love languages, because my initial reaction is always just to give them lots of gifts, right? But that's not everybody's love language. So just being aware of, okay, what does this specific person need for me to understand that I really am grateful for who they are and who they show up to be. So it's both sides of the coin. We can't ignore those ones who, while we let a lot slide, you know, as an owner director, I can tell you right now, during COVID, we let a lot slide, and you're absolutely right. It is time for us to step back up and take control. Some staff aren't going to like that. And
right.
Those are the ones that we need to, you know, sometimes it's doing them a favor too, by releasing them, by letting them go.
You're opening a door for them, mm-hmm. for another opportunity to come into their life. And you're opening a seat for someone who wants and is ready to be there. You know, I teach a lot to kind of categorize your team, like who's your A team, B team, C team. Not everyone likes to say that I say A team, B team, C team, but call them what you want to call them. Shooting stars, falling stars, twinkling stars, whatever. Call them what you want to call them. But we all have people who are excellent, above average, and average, right? So when you categorize your people like that, a strategy that I've done myself and I practiced it myself for a while and now I teach it, it's called the stay interview. Have you heard of stay interviews?
Yes.
So, okay. So it's not an ex interview, because that's the reactive, right? That's after they left. That's, you know, you're thinking, why did you leave me? But a stay interview, and I have a download. If you go to BethCannonSpeaks.com/stay, and we can put that in the show notes. It's just like, there's like 14 questions that you sit down with your A-teamers. And I'm going to say, away from the center, take him to coffee, take him to lunch, take him on a hike, take him to get a pedicure, whatever it is that you do, get him out of the center. And then really ask those questions. And STAY is an acronym for something, but it's, you know, it's about, you know, solidify your relationship with them, take down their concerns, ask the right questions, and find out their why. And, you know, really, because you've got to know, you've got to be able to remind your rock star team players.
Yes.
On hard days, you got to be able to remind them of their why, because we've had some really, really, really hard days. And so just sitting with them, and I've done it with my top leaders, and just, you know, having that conversation, like what's working, what's not working, what needs to change. I value your opinion. I value you, you know, what would make it more fun to work here? What are some low cost tweaks that we can put in place? You know, you and I were talking earlier about how, you know, childcare's had all the stimulus money.
Yes.
Now it's all been spent.
Right. Yeah.
Now what are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
There's no more coming that we know of. I mean, maybe, but we've got to prove ourselves as sustainable businesses.
Yeah.
We can sustain on their own. I mean, the money didn't come before COVID.
Yes.
So, exactly. Yeah, having sustainability, yes. You've got to have the dependability. You've got to have that stability in your staff and in your team, because we realize, you know, I mean, turnover costs you 1.5 to 2 times salary by the time you get them trained and ingrained into your culture and into your center and all that you have to do. And so keeping your key players in place matters. So if for those of you guys who are listening, I would encourage you to, you know, get a notebook, jot down your 18 players, and then before the end of the year, you know, hopefully before we get into Q4, which is coming up, is sit down and write down, these are my 18 players. This is what I value about them. I'm going to tell them, I'm going to show them.
Yes.
And I'm going to make sure they know.
We know it. And not just for Christmas. Yes.
Yes. No. Not just for Christmas. Like, I want to make sure you know now
how much I value you
and appreciate you.
Exactly. I just did something new also, just because it gets tiring, right? So even those 18 players sometimes can become toxic because we're exhausted, you know, and just the collective trauma that we're all coming out of, we're just tired. So yes. I just did something new. I actually had my staff, each one of them, write a thank you letter from a parent, as if they were one of the parents of the children they care for. And I told them, I really want details. I want to know, what are you thankful for? Why should this parent be thankful to you? If you were a parent of one of your children, what would you want to thank you for? And that really helped them to refresh, like, why we do what we do and why we, you know, just reminded them, like, this is why I love my job, because I get to do all these things for these children. So, and that's also, that is also what I'm turning into their employee reviews. So each of one basically are writing their own employee reviews, right? So at the end of the year, I can basically come back to them. And we do, I don't like doing annual reviews. It's too long of a period. So we do quarterly, but just kind of reminding them, hey, this is what your ideal teacher would be. How are you living up to your ideal? Have you forgotten your ideal? You know, and of course there's going to have to be other things, but really just reminding them, this is what you said it takes to do a great job. So by your own standards, are you doing a great job?
I love that idea. Okay. Major nuggets in this episode. So I hope your listeners were taking lots of notes.
Lots of notes, right?
I always listen to podcasts when I'm on a walk, and then I have to pause it, pull out my notes, type it in my notes, send myself a link. I use Trello, right? So I put stuff in my Trello board all the time. That I need to remember and go back on. So Evelyn, I'm so excited. I cannot wait until your event. Okay. Give us the details of that.
Yes. So I am so excited too, to be there in person. So for my listeners and audience, you can meet all of us in person, right? And actually get more of these nuggets. This is just like a very brief preview, but the childcare business professionals.com/summit. It's the Childcare Business Summit. You can, tickets are on sale right now. And at end of October, we will be there together. And we're really focusing on leveling up as leaders. It is time for us as ECE leaders to step up who we are at the core. If not only to survive the economy that is coming, but just to thrive. We want to be seen as professionals so badly, right? Yes. It's time for us to step into the role. It's time for us to become what we want to be. And that's why I have people like Beth coming, because I mean, just from this 20-minute conversation, you guys can see how this is just an organic conversation Beth and I have, different level of thinking. And that is what we want to expose you to. So make sure that you are there so you can meet us in person and just really get that energy that is in the room that just is contagious.
Yeah. And find your people. I always love connecting at conferences. You find people and, you know, yes, the sessions are great and we'll give a lot of good content, but so many times the magic happens at the bar, at cocktail hour, you know, in the evening, sitting around on the couch. So lots of magic happens at conferences like this.
Conversations are the most powerful asset we have. I've learned through life, and one of my favorite teachers, Susan Scott, one of my favorite books. She basically says, where you are today is the result of one conversation at a time. Well, thank you so much, Beth, for joining me today.
It's my pleasure.